Could I ask someone to close the door? I think maybe the last person has come in. Maybe not quite. Thank you. And how's the sound for everyone? Good. So let's just take a moment and settle in together. There might be still a few people joining us. So let's just sit in silence for just a few moments before we continue on with the practice for this afternoon. Finding a comfortable posture. Maybe just connecting with the simplicity of this body sitting here or lying down. The felt sense of breath. And letting the body settle into this moment right here, right now. Perhaps listening in with kindness, attuning to yourself, and getting a sense of, is there any adjustments you could make right now that would support your body to settle, to feel cared for, and to come into a place of a little bit of listening and practicing together. And when you're ready, you can either keep your eyes closed if that supports you and listening to the instructions for this afternoon, or if it's more supportive, feel welcome to come back into opening the eyes. So it's so beautiful to come into the hall now. It's been beautiful the whole way through, but there really is this silence that's starting to fill the room. And so to come in here, you know, coming from the teacher village and being more engaged in other tasks and talking, there's a real silence that's settling here and a sense that everybody is dropping a little bit deeper into the practice at this point. So that's beautiful to be part of that. So this afternoon, we're going to be offering a forgiveness practice. And for any of you that might have an immediate, I don't want to go there, this doesn't feel quite right, just for you to know that this is an optional practice. If you want to stay with the metta practice or the compassion practice, you can feel free to stay there. So it's just an invitation to add the forgiveness practice if that feels like good timing for you. So the forgiveness practice is in support of the other heart practices that we've been offering so far. So the metta practice as the through line through this retreat, and then the compassion practice, the other brahmavihara that we've been adding the last few days. And forgiveness practice is not considered a classical or formal brahmavihara practice, but we can think about it as an honorary Brahmavihara practice. So it's a practice that's often taught on these longer metta retreats because it really supports the heart to find a way to be with these moments of contraction, these moments of pain, these moments of aversion, these moments of hurt, that often tends to show up with the loving-kindness practice. So we've been saying all along, you know, that I think Sally mentioned the first night that this really is a purification practice. So as we incline the heart to open to all versions of ourselves and all other beings, it is very common, very normal that all the ways that the heart has barriers, all the ways that the heart contracts, all the ways that the heart cringes around versions of ourselves or in relationship with other people, that that's going to start to show up in our practice, including what we can think about as deeper pains that we hold in the heart. You know, ways that we may have caused harms to other beings, where we may have a hard time releasing ourselves, forgiving ourselves for ways that we've caused harm, and ways that other beings or even systems have caused harm to us. So we may, as part of this process, we may come up against areas where we hold some kind of unforgiveness, places where it's hard for us to let go and forgive. And so the forgiveness can be a support for the heart to, in a general way, to start expanding, releasing, opening up, having more openness, more ease with ourselves and with other beings. So I think we all probably long for this undefended heart, this heart that can really feel safe, this heart that can feel relaxed, this heart that can have a deep sense of well-being. I would imagine that what brought you here is this longing that I think is very common for all sentient beings, basically, that we all wish for this heart that can feel safe and can feel at ease and can feel a sense of friendliness and care inwardly and outwardly. And I'm hoping that all of you have had moments, at least, on this retreat, you know, where you've tapped into this. I know for myself, walking in the hills here, seeing the turkeys, and I think there's one peacock that sort of gathers along with the turkeys. You know, those moments, this heart just comes into a place of ease. It comes into a place of relaxation. And then to be together with all, I think we're close to 100 people that all have this, you know, we have this shared intention to cultivate this kind heart. That also really supports this heart to come into a place of well-being, to come into a place of ease, to come into a place of a deeper relaxation. So it's good to know that we probably all have a reference point inside, although there might be many moments where this is not showing for us. But to know that for us to even be called to come here, there's a great likelihood that we, somewhere inside, we have an inner reference point for even moments of feeling that the heart can feel connected, can feel at ease, and can have this love that flows through. And yet, as we talked about, often the heart is not in the state of ease, it's not in the state of openness. Often there are either a subtle sense of contraction, a subtle sense of defendedness, or at times around hurts that's happened, a greater sense of contraction, a greater sense of defendedness that's in the heart. I think Sally also at some point on the first night, or in her last talk, she talked about this very visible pain in the heart that we can sometimes feel. And I don't know about everybody else, but I certainly know that sense of when the heart holds a past hurt, holds something that's been difficult, it can be a very visceral sense in the heart, a pain in the heart. And it makes a lot of sense that this is a way that we actually try to protect ourselves from more harm, right? So when the heart contracts, when the heart pulls back, it's in an attempt to try to avoid further harm from happening. So there can be the sense that if this heart can contract and hold back, then we will be safe from further harm in the future. It's a way that we try to protect ourselves. And often if we look a little bit closer, there's often big stories that goes along with harms that we've experienced. At least I know that in my own mind. And it's like these stories that my mind keeps repeating is a way that my mind is trying to remind me of something that happened in the past in an attempt to avoid that similar situation from happening anytime in the future. So when I repeat it in my mind, it's a way that I make sure to remind myself that, you know, take care so this wouldn't happen again. But the only problem is that it doesn't really work. It really doesn't work. So as someone wise once told me, you know, it's like drinking poison, thinking someone else is going to die. So, right, when we contract and we tell stories of harm, you know, what's really happening is that we're in that moment, we are repeating a story of harm and we are reliving the story of harm within ourselves. So it doesn't really protect us from further harm, and it also actually causes suffering in the here and now when we repeat a story. And then it creates a frozen version of ourselves and others. It freezes ourselves at the moment when the harm happened, and it freezes the other person at the moment when the harm happened. It doesn't allow for any change to happen. When we repeat a certain story, we don't get to see things with fresh glasses, with fresh sight. We just have the old version that's moving through our minds. And then, you know, it does, when the heart cringes, and the heart holds on to pain, it also prevents more beautiful states to move through the heart. I don't know if anyone has noticed this. I've certainly noticed this in my own heart, that it's really hard to feel joy and aliveness and beauty, has a hard time moving through the heart when the heart is contracted, when the heart is restricted. Then it closes down, trying to close down from further harm, but it also closes down for beauty to move through. And yet what's really important to know with this practice, with all of the heart practices, because in some ways they all invite the heart to start opening, to start releasing, to start becoming more responsive. But what's really important is to remember that it's a process, you know. So sometimes we have to forgive ourselves for our unforgiveness, because there's a reason why the heart cringed. And we want to be really gentle, and we want to be really patient with the way that we invite the heart to release and to open, and be kind with that process as well. So it's a gradual process, and we do it with kindness, and it doesn't happen overnight. And like several of the teachers has talked about, like metta is an intention. It doesn't always come with a warm, fuzzy feeling. It's a direction that we give the mind. It's an intention that we invite the mind to come into this metta quality. And the same thing with forgiveness. It's an invitation, it's an inclination, it's an orientation that we invite the heart into. And sometimes it can come with a sense of release, and other times it can feel more dry. Again, it doesn't always come with a deep sense of, oh, now I release this from my heart. But to think about it as a practice, and as something we do over time, and as an intention to release, you know, the ways that our heart is fended off. And it's really important to remember that forgiveness is not about not having boundaries. Right? So when we practice forgiveness of ourselves or of other beings, it doesn't mean that we don't have emotional boundaries. Emotional boundaries are really important and they're really healthy. So I had someone I work with in my own life where there had been harm happening, and ended up in some ways forgiving this being, and yet it did not mean that I wanted to have a relationship with this being. So it was like, I forgive you, and we need to be very far apart, because I can't, you know, harm might still happen, you know, so it's okay, I can release the story in my own heart. I don't have to keep repeating the past story. I can release myself from the story, and it doesn't mean necessarily that that we need to, you know, be all lovey-dovey and have a very close relationship. And forgiveness is also not about not holding ourselves or others responsible for harm. So it's not releasing our responsibility to act with integrity. And it's not releasing others from their responsibility to act in ways that are not causing harm. But what we are releasing is the energy of aversion and sometimes ill will and hatred that often goes along with unforgiveness. And actually what we see is that when we release that that energy, that we are often way more skillful in taking responsibility for our own ethical behaviors, and also in some ways in holding others or systems responsible for harm that's being caused. So we don't need that the anger to really act in skillful ways, or to expect and ask for others to act in skillful ways. So it also means that it's not about being passive. When we forgive, it doesn't mean that we become passive. On the contrary, again, in some ways, if we think about the cringing, as it takes a lot of energy to hold the cringing in the heart. And when the heart actually opens up a little bit, there's a lot of energy that's freed. And often the energy goes towards, you could think about it as compassionate action. So we often feel we feel called to take care of injustices in the world and really have way more energy to move into a compassionate action from this place, not from a place of resentment, but from a place of love, of care, of the wish that all beings everywhere, may everybody know safety. So that's the potential. Yeah, there's a lot more that could be said, but I think it's time for us to move into the practice. And again, I just want to remind you that to check in with your own heart, your own wisdom, and see, is this the time for you to try this practice? We're going to start with the metta as our ground, and you can stay with metta, you can come back to metta. So again, really being with this in a kind way is my invitation to you. So again, let's take a moment and settle into a posture that feels supportive for your body. And just in the coming into the practice period, coming in with kindness. listening into the body right now. And perhaps releasing all the words that we've just, was just in the room, and just coming into your intimate connection with yourself, with your body in this moment. And finding that balance between the effort and the ease that we've talked about. So maybe with the ease, there can be a softening into your posture, an invitation to release any unnecessary tension that you might be holding in your body. And also coming into a posture that supports some alertness, some wakefulness. And then coming back to the phrases that you've been using for metta for self. We'll stay here for a few minutes, staying with this practice that may now be very familiar to you. Wishing safety, happiness, health and ease for yourself. Now, if this feels comfortable for you, you may bring in the felt sense of your benefactor or easy being and your friend. Maybe all three of you sitting together. Knowing that all three of you are wishing for safety, happiness, health and ease. May we be safe. May we be happy. May we be healthy. May we live with a deep sense of ease. Now releasing the felt sense of the three of you. And if it feels right for you, opening up to this first part of the forgiveness practice. Which is asking forgiveness for ways that we have may have caused others harm. So as we say this phrase, maybe just opening it up to any being that we may have caused harm. And there may also be the potential that particular beings may show up for you. So silently repeating within yourself. For all the ways that I knowingly or unknowingly have caused you harm, I ask for your forgiveness. For all the ways that I knowingly or unknowingly have caused you harm, I ask for your forgiveness. Being open to whatever shows up for you. A felt sense of any being that may appear. And also being open to any experiences you may be having in this offering this forgiveness or asking for this forgiveness. Bringing compassion and kindness to this process. Compassion for all the ways that we are human. And all the ways that we make mistakes. And at any point, coming back to metta for self, taking a little rest, releasing the forgiveness phrases, releasing any images or felt sense of others that may have shown up, and just coming back to your own heart, wishing for safety and ease and happiness and health. And checking in with your own heart, if it feels wise for you to move on to the second part, which is about offering forgiveness to anyone that may have harmed you. Again, offering this forgiveness phrase in a very open way, and letting any being that may show up within your awareness. For all the ways that you knowingly or unknowingly have caused me harm, I offer you my forgiveness. Or any ways that you knowingly, unknowingly have caused me harm, I offer you my forgiveness. Staying very close and attuned to your own heart and the response within you. At any time coming into metta practice or compassion practice, for whatever experience may show up for you. So there can be this going back and forth between setting the intention to offer forgiveness and then caring for whatever experience comes up for you around that. and respecting any contraction or any pulling back that may be part of this process. Trusting your own readiness or maybe not readiness. Very gentle. And now releasing this part of the practice. Any images or felt sense of any beings you've been working with this far. And let's come back a few minutes of metta for self. This practice that you know so well at this point. Grounding here, seeing the faces. Befriending yourself, settling. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with a deep sense of ease and well-being. And then this last part of the practice is setting the intention, the gentle intention, to patiently offer ourselves forgiveness for any harm that we may have caused ourselves. For all the ways that I knowingly and unknowingly have caused harm to myself, I offer myself forgiveness. May I forgive myself. May I release myself. trusting and knowing I'm doing my best. All the ways that I knowingly and unknowingly have caused harm to myself, I offer myself forgiveness. I set the intention to release myself from unforgiveness. Being open to any situations that come up for you or habit patterns that come up for you. Places in your life where you are very critical of yourself. Things you've said or done that you have a hard time moving on from. Seeing if it's possible, even just a little bit, to offer yourself forgiveness here. Now releasing this forgiveness practice altogether for now, knowing that you can return to any parts of it if it's useful for you. And coming back into the simplicity of the metta practice. Starting with self. And then if it's supportive for you, maybe coming back to the sense of sitting with your easy being, your benefactor, and your friend, just sitting together. May we be safe. May we be happy. May we be healthy. And may we live with a deep sense of ease. Thank you for your practice. So now we have time for some questions or observations, reflections. Anyone that want to ask a question or share an observation? There's one way in the back there. Yeah. Well, first of all, to say that that's pretty common, and I've really felt that. Oh, sorry. So what the question was, what to do when there's a strong somatic experience, strong reaction to this forgiveness practice, and the person said it was almost like she couldn't even stay in the room here. So what to do about that? And I responded that I think that can be quite common. Many reactions can be common. Sometimes there's, you know, it's like we just can't connect with the practice. It doesn't feel very, it doesn't evoke a lot of emotions. And then other times it may just evoke strong emotions or a lot of thoughts or a strong visceral experience. And it makes a lot of sense because we are really inviting the heart into an active letting go process. So whereas the other heart practices is more of there's a lot of letting go in those practices as well, but it's a more gentle letting go process. And here we are actively inviting the heart to let go of these ways that we hold resentment or that we hold past hurt. And sometimes, you know, as we've talked about, there is a holding in the actual body. Right? So that's at least been my experience. So when we talk about the heart closing down or the heart being defended, it actually feels like there is this closing down or this cringing around the heart. And so when we ask the heart to open, there can be some experiences within the body. So we want to be really gentle with that process. We want to take it really slowly. And that's why offering the metta as a way to, you know, come in and out of the practice, and also doing it as a very optional practice so that we're not forcing our minds into a letting go process, but that it's an invitation and that we really respect the strong emotions that sometimes come up, and we know how to, you know, take a break, back off. We may open our eyes. We may say, okay, that's enough for now. Let me do metta for the rest of the session. So we want to really do it with kindness and with respect for the process. You're welcome. I'm not sure who, but I'm going to go here. Yes. So I think there's a little bit of a trial and error. So I wish I could, I have to repeat the question. So the question was when to know when to back off and when to stay longer with the practice when you don't have guidance, and when to gauge that yourself. And I think it's really, there's a trial and error, right? I can't, you know, it changes all the time how long we can stay with the practice and what's wise for how long. So that's something we're going to have to, that edge we're going to have to explore for ourselves. But I would say if after the practice it's like lots of memories might come up or lots of emotions might come up and there's a sense of feeling a little bit flooded and not being able to ground back in the other practices we're doing, then it might be time to say, okay, I need a shorter period of time or I need to take a break from this. So it's really about finding out how much can the heart metabolize. That would be my, and I don't have the answer for you, but it's about opening and then taking time to metabolize. And there's nothing gained by going full steam into overwhelm. So it's much better to do it little bit at a time, little drops at a time, metabolize, settle, and then take another little piece. Thank you. Could you say that one more time? So what I'm hearing, you weren't ready. Is that what you said? Okay. I'm hearing you. Thank you. So this was a sharing around a process of working with a deep past hurt, and she shared that there's been a movement from the first time she tried this forgiveness practice to now, where there's an ability now to actually offer forgiveness to the perpetrator, but it was still really hard to forgive. That's the part I didn't get. Forgive yourself? No. Yeah. Right. Right. Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. So there is a not readiness to ask the perpetrator to forgive you. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Mm. That's right. That's right. That's right. So, yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. So I'll just make a short reflection on that. And then unfortunately, that's the last, because we're ending the meeting for today, or the session for today. Yeah. So just to be, for everybody to just be really respectful of the process, and to, again, to not force any parts of the forgiving to happen, but to trust that with the intention that there'll be a readiness when we're ready. And again, it's not ruling out having personal boundaries or having emotional boundaries. Those are really important, and they can actually support us. When we know that it's okay for us to have boundaries, it can support us to release some of the resentment that we might feel. So thank you so much, everybody. I wish you a beautiful rest of the day of practice. And now it's time for tea. Yes, thank you.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.